right, good morning. I hope you're enjoying the last day, 2 days of summer. So before we enter into fall, hopefully you're doing a couple. It was so hot yesterday, was it not? It's beautiful. Hopefully it stays that way. Hey, we are week two of our Slow Church series, and we're reading through this book, Slow Church, together. Last week, we kicked off our series by talking a bit about kind of where we're going, gave a little foundation, some introduction. Now we're going to start entering into some of the different philosophies, ways of doing church, specifically that Slow Church references throughout the book. And what I've been saying from the beginning is I don't want this to just be a Oprah book study. Rather, I want to read through the book, and I hope it does raise questions and bring certain insights to your mind. But I want to ask the question, what does it mean for us here at Awaken? Because you can read a book, and this is actually what this entire week is about. Hopefully you picked up on this. You can read a book written by someone in Alabama, and their experience is going to be completely different than our experience here in New York for multiple reasons. The number one reason is because, I mean, every church is different, is it not? Sometimes people move away. They're like, hey, can you give me a church that's like Awaken in California? I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't. Every church has its own feel, its own flavor. A lot of it does have to do with the pastor, obviously, but it also has to do with you, because we're creating a community together. And I think if there's one thing that I have believed from the very beginning, is a church should not rely solely on the pastor. It relies on all of us together, because we are building something. We are creating a community. We're building a church together. And we all come at it from different past experiences. We all have different giftings, different things that we're passionate about. And I think that's what makes the church so beautiful. And when church works at its finest, it's when all of us are engaged together. Now, we all have different parts that we play, different things that we do, but it's when all of us together are saying, hey, we believe in this group, in this community, and we are going to invest what we have in order to build something beautiful for all of us, and then also for others who haven't yet experienced the brilliance of Awaken. You know what I'm talking about, right? Now, today, we're going to look at chapter 2, and the title of chapter 2. And again, just a little housekeeping, a little business. So the way in which we're doing this series is, my hope is that you would read the chapter before we get to the sermon. So obviously today we're talking about chapter 2, so everyone sometimes asks, you know, where are we? Okay, we're through chapter 2, so your reading assignment for next week would be chapter 3. Now today, chapter 2, and if you haven't read chapter 2, it's okay, we're not checking ID at the door. Chapter 2, terroir. Terroir. It's a great word, is it not? You want to impress some of your neighbors, some of your coworkers? Drop this one into the conversation. What did you talk about yesterday? Yeah, we were talking about terroir. Really, where were you? Were you at a wine tasting? No, I was at church. Now, I love the definition of this word. And I had never really come across this word until I read this book a couple of years ago. And these definitions of this word are absolutely the complete natural environment in which a particular wine is produced, including factors such as the soil, topography, and climate. So any wine connoisseurs here this morning? If I blindfolded you and gave you different types of wine, could you be like, oh, that's a Merlot. That's got a full, rich body. I'm like, what are you talking about? I think wine connoisseurs and I don't know, whatever, I won't get into it. It's my own opinion. I don't want to offend anyone. But look at this second definition. The characteristic taste and flavor imparted to a wine by the environment in which it is produced. I love it. Sometimes I go into the wine store, I'm like, hey, what can you recommend for me? And, you know, the person comes out from behind the counter and then they drop all their wine knowledge on me. This one has this and this and the Argentinian soil. But this is, you know, in California, and so this taste has a little different flavor. The truth is, it's actually true. Like, there's slight nuances to the wine. So as crazy and pretentious as some wine people can sound, there is a difference between different Merlots based off of where they're produced. And the soil, the climate, everything. And that's what this chapter is all about. Every church is going to be different because of the location, because of the people. Every church is going to be different because Awaken is shaped differently than a church that's 5 minutes down the street for various reasons. And so today what I want to talk about, we can go to the next slide. I want to talk about church as a whole, and by church I mean us as Awaken, and then I want to talk about you. Because there's things we can talk about collectively, but then there's also a way in which we can speak about terroir individually. So let's first talk about church. Next slide, please. When I first started Awaken, I went to a whole bunch of conferences. I was kind of a conference junkie back in the day. And I went to a whole bunch about how you create a successful church. How do you start a church? And they gave you all these different ideas. Here's the 5 things that you have to do if you want to create a successful church. After like the 15, all right, I didn't go to that many, but after like about 5 or so of these conferences, I was conferenced out. Because what I realized is there was a product that was being handed to me, or there was a product that was being, okay, here's how you're going to be successful. Here are the 5 steps, the 6 steps. But I realized that these 6 steps had worked for this person. They worked for this church, but they just didn't feel right for me. You ever experience this personally in life where someone has everything all figured out for you? And they tell you how to do things, and you try it, and it doesn't work the same way. And first off, it feels awkward for you. It's like David putting that armor on, and it feels really awkward, number one. But number two, you don't achieve the same level of success as this person, and now you're frustrated. And you begin to lose some self-esteem. You're like, well, what's wrong with me? They did it this way, and everything worked out for them. I did it this way, and everything's moving in the opposite direction for me. So I quickly realized that if I were to follow all these ways in which they were teaching me to build a church, I was going to be building someone else's church. And it wasn't going to be a church that was authentic to me. And if there's a word that we wanted to use early on with Awaken, it was this word authenticity. Because, I mean, isn't that just the way things should be? I mean, I don't know, just saying, just throwing it out there. Authenticity is, I mean, it's everything. And how you do one thing is how you do everything. And if I were to create a church that wasn't authentic to me and my experiences and how God was leading me and the things that were placed on my heart, well then, like, what's the point? What's the point of building something that doesn't feel right to you? And so I said, no more conferences. And I was done with conference. I actually haven't attended a conference since then. I actually walked out of one of the seminars because I was like, this is so boring and this is pointless and I am not resonating with this at all. So I walked out and I don't know what I did. Probably got a coffee or something and went for a walk. And then I was done. That was it, because I wanted to create something that was true to me and the specific thing that God wanted to do through us and the type of church that God was leading me and the leadership team at the time to build. So let's flip to the next slide. Now, we talked about this last week, but this is a series about Awaken, about the foundation of Awaken, so I thought we could keep harping on our vision. Let's keep our vision front and center. What's the thing that we're doing here at Awaken? So we're creating followers of Jesus. That's the vision. Then for this week, because we're talking about terroir, I decided we would add a little disclaimer. We're creating followers of Jesus here in Westchester County. Now, if you're in a different county, it's quite all right. It's okay. We're not exclusionary. I know there's some people that listen online, and that's totally okay. But we exist in Westchester County. Specifically, right now, we exist in Ardsley. And looking around the room, I think most of us live in Westchester. And again, not being exclusionary, I think you're out of Westchester, and that's okay. That's fine. But this is our community. This is where we hold a service. And what we want is we want this to be a unique expression here in Westchester, because if you Google churches in Westchester, how many churches will come up? And they're all different. And they all have their role. They all have their place. And I understand not every church is for everyone. And I think we would be a lot healthier if we were just to acknowledge that right from the beginning. And I think everyone should find the church that resonates with them. And there's people who have told me, hey, you know what, Awaken's really, it's not my thing. And, you know, it's hurtful, but at the same time, you want every single person to find a church that meets them exactly where they are. And if Awaken's not doing it, then by all means, I hope everyone finds a place where they can grow in their walk with Jesus, because that's what it's about. And so we are creating followers of Jesus, and we want to be the unique expression that God has placed on our hearts to be. We can flip to the next slide. And this was mentioned in the book, and I want to talk about this verse because I think this verse is one of the most misused verses in the entire Bible. This is a very famous verse, bumper sticker verse. This is the verse that you remember. You're taught this when you're in youth group growing up. Keep this on your dashboard in your car. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. How many of us have heard this verse before? Most of us here. How many of you know the context of this verse? What comes before it? What comes after it? This is how we misuse the Bible all the time. We pull a Bible verse out and it means something, but we actually miss the larger story that this verse falls into. So let's look at what happens after Jeremiah, or actually before Jeremiah 29:11. So let's back it up a verse. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. Jeremiah is written to Israelite exiles. The Babylonians have come in. They have destroyed Israel, and they have removed the Israelites from their home country, and they have brought them back to Babylon. So the Israelites they're captives. They're captured. They're living in a foreign land. They do not want to be there. They're being held against their will. They want to go home. I totally get it. I totally understand this. They want to go home. And what God says is, after 70 years, I'm going to bring you home. And hey, by the way, I have plans to prosper you. I mean, how often do we talk about that when we look at this verse? Because we think plans to prosper you means I'm going to get a new Lamborghini, going to win the lottery, going to get my dream job. But yet, if we actually look at the larger story, God's saying, hey, you're going to have a really, really difficult situation. And in the midst of this difficult situation where you're captives, you're being forced to do something and live somewhere where you don't actually want to be, you're going to prosper. And then it actually continues. I mean, doesn't this give a whole new meaning to this verse, right? Because we look at this verse like everything is going to go the way in which it's supposed to go. And then we have a really warped view about spirituality and about God, because then we think that the only thing God wants to do is give us a life that is totally free of all things that are really difficult in life. But yet, that's not how life works. And then when things are difficult, we think, well, there's something wrong with me, or then we have a warped view about God. But actually, what we find here in the Bible is life's going to be really hard sometimes. You're going to go through challenges, but God's going to be with you. And God has a plan for you in the midst of the difficulties. Maybe it's hard to see it initially. Maybe it's hard to believe it. But God is with you. And you will find a way to bring meaning to the difficult situation that you find yourself in. I mean, that'll preach, right? That'll preach. Just getting up there and saying, hey, everything's going to go great. Well, sure, but half of you, if not even more than half of you, are going through a really hard time right now. And you don't need to hear, everything's going to work out, it's going to be great. And if it doesn't, well, then there's something wrong with your faith. You need to hear, hey, you know what? It's going to be hard. And it's going to suck for a while. But God's going to see you through this. And there's going to be other people who are going to walk through this with you. And we may not be able to fully understand why you're going through this, but you're not going to be alone in it. And God is going to bring some meaning and hope out of this situation. Then it continues. Let's go to the next slide. Okay, so here's where we get to the terroir. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile, build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what these gardens produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Remember, you're going to be there a while, so settle down. Make some plans. And seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Israelites, they are in a foreign land. They don't like the people that they're living with. And what does God say? Seek the peace and prosperity of the very people who destroyed your homeland and ruined your life. Pray for it. When we talk about church, we talk about church being a unique expression. We talk about creating followers of Jesus in Westchester County. What we want to do is what we see Jeremiah telling these exiles. We want to seek the peace and the prosperity of all people. We want to be a church that exists for this entire county and the surrounding counties. We don't want to be this insular experience where it's all about us. And how big can we get this thing? So that's what I found about these conferences. Oftentimes it's about the success that happens here on a Sunday morning. And it's great. It's great seeing more people come through the doors. It's great having a kids ministry and having someone like Lois who believes deeply in what she's doing and wants to see that kids ministry and the family ministry flourish here at Awaken. It's great, and I hope and I pray that we have more people and more families come through the door. But if it's only about numbers, if it's only about growing our name, what's the point? It's about creating followers of Jesus. It's about having our lives transformed. And obviously, more people means then more lives can be transformed. But the end goal, it's never about numbers. Church can never be turned into a product. And that's kind of how I felt these conferences were. It was turning church into a product. You do these things, you get this success. But we all know life is a whole lot messier than that. You have your plan, you do things the right way, and things still blow up in your face. Anyone else experienced this before? It's called life. It happens. And church needs to reflect life where it's messy. And sometimes there's things that don't happen on a Sunday morning. They happen outside of the life of the church. Sometimes your life is transformed. Then you meet a neighbor and their life is now. I have one neighbor and they just went through a terrible tragedy. Awful what they went through. He doesn't want to step foot in a church. Probably never will, but he's calling me all the time because he wants to talk about this. He wants prayer for it. I'm sure you all have friends like this who they would never step foot in a church, but maybe they want to call you because they know that you're a person of faith. So they call you because they want to talk about it. They want prayer. They want someone to walk through the situation with them. It's not going to reflect in success on a Sunday morning. But that is success in creating followers of Jesus. When your neighbors, your coworkers look to you and they say, there's something about your life. And I don't want that whole church thing. I don't want to do that. But I want you to pray for me. I want you to help me make sense, because there's a spark that they carry within them. A belief in the divine, a divine presence that's with them. And they want you to help them make some sense of it. So on a Sunday morning, yeah, it's not going to happen, but Sunday afternoon, late on a Wednesday night, they're calling you because they know that there's something about your life, something that's pouring out of you, and they want a piece of that. Let's keep going. Let's go to the next slide. Yes, okay. So here's one of the ways in which we want to be a blessing for the county of Westchester. And we have done this project now, how many times? Like three times, I believe. And we had to put it on hold. We were actually planning it, and then COVID hit, and we were shut down for a while. Back in April of last year, I guess it was. But we want to resurrect our Stuff a Shirt project. And we've actually already started collecting items, I believe. And What Stuff Assured Project is, we take a Sunday morning service and we set the room up with kind of an assembly line. We have a whole bunch of tables. And in the weeks leading up to this project, we're collecting t-shirts, toiletries, like toothbrushes, shampoo and soap, and we stuff these t-shirts with toiletries. Then we have handwritten notes as well that we write in this. And we pack all these t-shirts, we put them in boxes, and then we're able to drop them off at local homeless shelters throughout Westchester. And then these shirts are then distributed to some of the people who are staying at these homeless shelters. And every single time we've done it, we've taken, instead of having an actual service, we turn our service into this project, as a time of community, and we always love for you to bring friends as well to it. Like, wait, you're doing what on a Sunday morning? There's no one up there telling me what I need to do for a half an hour. There's no singing or anything like that. Like, no, we're just hanging out, stuffing t-shirts that we can be a blessing to the county of Westchester. So we are going to be doing a Stuff a Shirt project on Sunday, November 7th. And I've been reaching out to some of the local homeless shelters to see who is interested in collecting these boxes that we're going to prepare. And I forget how many shirts last time, it was 300, 350? It was close to 300. So I think we can top that this year, right? Okay. I hear Mary's all on board with it. Everyone else, you're like, so we can top 300, right? All right, there we go. Got a few more believers. Now, as we, one of the ways that this works is we do need a few people to help coordinate. So would love to have you come and see me if you're interested in helping to put this together. The majority of things happen on that Sunday, November 7th. Obviously, it's collecting items beforehand. So in the next couple of weeks, we're going to let you know what we're looking for and you know, how you can start getting involved. But put this on your calendar during our service, Sunday, November 7th, and this would be a great time to bring a neighbor, to bring a friend. Say, hey, this is what we do as a church. We don't want it just to be about us. We want it to be about Westchester County. And so we are finding ways to bless our local community because we want to be about seeking the peace, the prosperity, the well-being of Westchester, and sharing the grace that we have experienced and sharing the love of Jesus with others around us without any strings attached at all. So that's terroir for church. Now, let's talk about you. And here's one of Reese's favorite books. If we go to the next slide. It's called There's Just One You. How many of you have this on your reading right on the shelf next to your bed? Little booster at night. There's just one me. I know some of you go in your closet and you're like reading this book. Okay, so we can go to the next slide. Another one of my favorite verses. This is in John, our favorite passages, John chapter 21. Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." This is after Jesus is resurrected. "Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself. You went where you wanted. But when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." It's a bit depressing. I get it. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to Peter, "Hey, follow me." Now, Peter doesn't like what he hears. So the story continues. He saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, no ego here in his own gospel, this was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" So when Peter saw him, he said, "Well, what about him? What about him?" Jesus is like, "Hey, here's what's going to happen to you. Follow me." Wait, hold on. What about this guy over here? What's his path going to be? And Jesus said, "Well, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Just like you can turn church into a product, you can turn your own spiritual growth into a product as well. And there's a list of things to do. You do this, 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 and this. And we can go to the next slide. Here's the truth. You can't formalize spiritual growth. You just can't do it. Many people try. There's workbooks. There's ways in which here's the 10 steps, here's the 6 steps, and those can be really helpful, of course. But you got to make it about you because there's just one you. All right, some of you are catching on. Some of you are still a little sleepy. Yeah, there's just one you. So you cannot formalize spiritual growth. And if anyone ever tells you that, they're just wrong. There's no other way to put it. They're wrong. Because God meets you where you are. And we go to the next slide. See, God works with what you got. if there's one spiritual truth to remember for this entire year, one thing to hold in front of you for your entire life, remember, God works with what's right in front of you right now. I don't love my situation that I'm in right now. It's what I got, though, and God is using it. God is doing something through it, and you all have different situations. There's all different things that you're going through in life right now. There's different things that matter to you, different seasons of life. And the truth is, what's right for Mary is not what's right for Adam, which isn't what's right for Debbie. God works with what's in front of you at the moment. And don't ever let anyone tell you, here's the three things that you must do. It's about learning and listening to the Spirit and what is right for you in the moment. And so if we talk about our vision, discipleship is becoming more like Jesus. And here's a question for us, the next slide. What does it mean for you to become more like Jesus today? That's your homework. That's the task. That's the thing to figure out. What does it mean for you to look more like Jesus today? Don't think about next week. Don't think about next year. What's the one step? What's the one thing today the Spirit is inviting you to step into in order to become more like Jesus? I think I have one more slide. Yeah, so how do I do that? There's a whole bunch of different ways to do it. And it's not a one-size-fits-all approach. And sometimes there's seasons where you're spending more time in prayer than other seasons. Sometimes there are seasons when you don't have that time. And that's totally okay. Don't let anyone ever put any pressure on you. Don't let anyone ever try to pump themselves up spiritually by telling you how long they pray in the morning or how much of the Bible that they read. Make you feel bad about it. Because God works with what you got. Because you are your own terroir. You have your own soil that you're walking in, that your feet are planted in. Because remember, next slide, there's just one you. That's going to be the sermon title this week. There's just one you. So we have a bit about church and being planted here and caring for our neighbors here. And that also plays into you and what it means for you in your own individual walk. So that's a bit about chapter 2. Now, with that, I did say, how long did I go this morning? What time is it? It's because of announcements. Of course, it wasn't the sermon. The sermon is only 20 minutes long. What time is it anyway? 10:55? Okay, cool. So we have a few minutes here. So anything that that chapter 2 raised, any questions that it brought up, any observations that you thought, oh, wow, this is really interesting. Do you like what you're hearing? Are you like, I hate this book? Anything that was in the sermon, I'll throw it out for audience participation. Yes. Oh, shoot. I said that we were going to set up a microphone this week, and I forgot. Okay. What I'm going to do is I'll repeat the question. Okay, it's a comment.
I always loved the last part of the John and Peter thing where it just went right over their heads and it was about the rumor that John was never going to die.
Oh.
That's what they got from that.
That's what they took from it.
From what Jesus said.
They missed the particular, hey, follow me, and they were thinking about all these other things.
John's never
going to
die.
Right, right. Yep. Oh, I love that one. I know, it's so good. What else? Yeah, a few other observations here. And what do you think? Do we like this terroir idea? Do we have a wine tasting? Right? Okay, I saw a thumb up from John in the back, so that's good. All right, we got one thumb up. John and Asa give it two thumbs up. Forget Siskel and Ebert. All right, well, I guess it's time for lunch. Football? All right, cool. Well, hey, let me pray for us. Next week we'll do chapter 2, which I believe is stability. And we'll keep rolling. What? Oh, chapter 3, sorry. Chapter 3, I forgot. Yeah, one was the intro. Cool. All right, let me pray for us. God, thank you for this group. Thank you for each individual who is here. Thank you for just all the gifts, God, all the passions. God, for just each person and what they each bring to Awaken. God, I pray that Awaken would, as we begin building back our community, God, I pray that Awaken would be known here in Westchester for a church that's known for its love, for its grace, for its desire not just to be about what happens here on a Sunday, but for the well-being, the prosperity of our neighbors, of this entire county. So God, I pray that as we begin planning for this project, God, that we would be able to bless others, that others would experience your love and your grace through what happens here at Awaken. And God, for each of us individually, I ask that question, what does it mean to follow Jesus today? God, I pray that we could just break our spiritual walk down to that one question. It's not necessarily a simple question, but rather that we wouldn't be looking ahead to the next year or 5 years, but that we would just look at what's in front of us today. So I pray that this week that we would give some time to listen, God, to hear the step that your Spirit is inviting us to take. And God, it's going to look different for each of us. So I pray that we would take that unique step that you're calling each of us into. I pray as we do so that we would experience your presence. God, that we would, as our vision says, God, that we would become more like Jesus each day as we take it one step at a time. So we pray, we ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.